Hi, I'm Robert.
I'm Richie.
I'm Darren.
And this is What We Really Thought. Every time. Of John Carter, the Hunger Games IMAX.
The Hunger Games.
And 21 Jump Street. We're going non-spoilers first. So, John Carter is a Disney movie from the director of WALL-E. It's based on the very old source material by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who also created Tarzan. It's a long series of novels based in Mars. I think the actual name of the series is A Princess of Mars, and this first movie is mostly based on that. The source material inspired bunch of stuff, you know, inspired Star Trek, yeah. Star Wars. I mean, that thing in the arena with Attack of the Clones was basically ripped from John Carter. And then they took it right back for this movie.
Yep.
It stars Taylor Kitsch, or Kitsch, I don't quite know how to pronounce the last name.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe, and... let's see, I don't know the gal. She's new, I think. Well, first, have any of you read the books or familiar with the source material?
No, sir. Nope. I know very loose details on the source material.
All right, same here. I will say I kind of liked it. It's more than a meh, less than good. You know, yeah. It was decent. Yeah. No, it definitely wasn't terrible. That's sort of a bad way to start off a review, but there you go. Part of it is, you know, it's long. It's quite long. Yeah. It's 2.5 hours. There's a lot of setup involved. There's a framing device along with the setup. So it takes them a while to get into the interesting things, but also it is necessary to get everything set up. So I don't know how you would get around that, but I don't know. It's definitely entertaining. It was surprisingly funny at some parts, especially the beginning with Colonel Cranston.
Yes.
And John Carter's repeated escape attempts. And I'm like, oh man, it would be funny if they did it one more, and then they did it one more time. But oh man, they wouldn't go for another time, would they? And then they go for another time.
Yeah.
Just
the amount of times John Carter fails in this movie is basically a punchline in itself.
Yeah. He gets into entanglement with Native Americans, he ends up hiding in a cave, and kills a resident of Mars who decides to visit, and then gets accidentally transported to Mars. Yeah. Well, we don't know why he showed up. He just shows up out of nowhere.
Like he's a fucking tourist. Like, oh, check it out, it's Mars. Oh God, he shot me. Oh yeah, this is awesome. Fucking cave on Earth. Best place ever. Oh God, he shot me.
And let's see. One of the differences between Mars and Earth is because John is a human, he has different bone density, apparently, which allows him to jump like Superman in Superman Returns.
Well, they also
scene with the kid in the cornfield.
They also established the big part of it is the gravity.
Yeah, the gravity and his bone
different.
Density.
Yeah, the gravity's
strength.
Different on Earth, so it basically made him that much stronger than the residents of Mars.
Also stars The Wire's McNulty. I forget the actor's name, but I liked that he was in a big budget thing. He was the guy trying to marry the princess.
Yeah.
And the bad guy from Sherlock Holmes, whose name I also forget. So yeah, there goes my credibility and expertise out the window.
Robert, you're the expert.
I like the acting, you know, the writing, again, when they're being lighthearted, it was actually really good. But I think it's just the nature of the material where it's really hard to set that up and make it just go by, you know?
Yeah, without them just kind of doing it like the I guess the source material did it, where, like, they just kind of throw you into it and you just kind of accept it. Without kind of throwing you into the deep end of the pool, they go through a lot of, they jump through a lot of hoops to get all of this set up and get it rolling. And I honestly think that might have been to the detriment of the movie. Just a bit, how much they had to set up stuff.
Richie, what do you think?
I thought overall it was an enjoyable movie. As you did say, it was a little bit long, and I did feel the longness. However, I was still pretty entertained throughout the whole deal, even through most of the setup. So overall, I'd rate it a good movie.
Would you recommend that people see this in theaters?
I'd recommend they rent it. I don't think you'd benefit from the size of the screen or the sound system, really.
That might be their only choice at this point.
Well, right, I mean, but when it comes out on DVD or whatnot, I suggest renting it.
It's been out for a while.
So, Jaren?
Yeah. I liked it. I mean, it was... I'm gonna agree with you. It was a little... It was better than just average, but it still wasn't, like, great by any means. So that's kind of where it fell. I really wanted to like this movie. I don't know. There's certain elements about the movie that I really liked and really worked for me. But
what did you think of the lead? This is his first time carrying a movie, I think.
He was actually one of my problems with the movie. I didn't hate him, but I don't know. He never kind of endeared himself to me for whatever reason. Like, I didn't love him. I was a lot more into the female lead than him. Like, I really liked her and liked what she was doing.
Yeah, it's a tropey role for her, but also she does it well enough. You know, the princess who's also, you know, warrior, can carry herself, but she, like, has a big responsibility.
Yeah, don't forget Brainiac.
Yeah, Brainiac.
Yeah, in the parts where, I don't know, she does have a really tropey character, but she plays it, I don't know, it was a really believable role.
She was charming.
She was very charming. And I that probably might have been why John Carter came off the wrong way to me. Like,
he didn't match her star power or her charisma.
Yeah, yeah, like, when they finally get together, you know, and together on screen, it just kind of, they don't... I liked her more than I liked him, so he kind of bugged me a bit. Like I said, there's elements about the movie I liked. I really liked the aircraft design.
Yeah.
And stuff. That stuff, you know, a lot of the stuff like that looked cool, but it also felt kind of sloppy in spots. The writing was kind of meek in places. And that kind of added to the movie, kind of feeling like it was really dragging. When, I don't know, some of the parts really, they didn't feel like they clicked. Going from one big set piece to the next. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of wish it had been better, because, like I said, I really wanted to like it, but in the end, it's just kind of... I think in the end, it's going to be kind of forgettable, and I think that's kind of sad, considering how much the source material has influenced so much of, you know, pop culture now. Things that are, you know, like, staples in pop culture. I think it's kind of sad that the movie that finally got made about it is just going to kind of be forgettable in the end.
So, see it in theaters, rent it, buy it, skip it.
I don't know. I guess I'd have to say skip it. I don't necessarily know that it's like a must-see type thing. If you were interested in the source material beforehand, you probably already went to see it, you know, but, you know, it's an okay sci-fi movie, but unfortunately there's a lot of the elements that were taken from it and used in other movies have been done better in other places now. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd say skip it.
I think I'm with Richie. Rennett, there were enough parts that I liked that I think it's worth seeing. There are definitely problems, you know, some of the acting, definitely the writing, you know, drug it down, but yeah. I liked enough of it.
Alien dog's cute.
Yeah, what was its name? Churro?
I think it's something like that.
It started with a W.
Oh,
it's like Walla or something like that.
Yeah, that might be it, Walla. No, Woola. Woola,
there you go.
Churro, the alien dog.
Churro. Yeah, he was adorable. I liked him. I want one now.
Looked like Jabba the Hutt before he became king or whatever he was.
Next, The Hunger Games, which we saw in IMAX, based on the hit novel The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. This movie actually broke box office records. It had the highest opening weekend for an original film, or at least a film that is not a sequel or part of a franchise already. It's the starting of a franchise. And the number 3 opening of all time behind Harry Potter 7-2 and The Dark Knight. It made back its advertising and production budget in the first weekend. So, right now, it's pure profit.
Yeah, it's about late more now.
They, it stars... Man, my mind is...
Lenny Kravitz.
Blanking today. Lenny Kravitz is in it. Lenny Kravitz. Josh...
Woody Harrelson shows up.
Josh... Yeah, Woody Harrelson. Josh, Humperdinck? No. Hutcherson? Hutcherson.
Oh, you were really feeling it.
Man, what in the world?
Let's see. Isabel Furman,
mm-hmm.
The orphan.
Don't remember the Lee's name, do you?
No. The recent Oscar nominee, Best Actress nominee, who... she was also Mystique in X-Men First Class.
Yes. Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh.
I didn't recognize
wow. Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland.
Elizabeth Banks. Oh, it's the lead who's drawing a blank. It's not...
Remember everyone who showed up other than
her. Do you remember?
No, but it's not my job to remember.
Google it, Richie.
I'm working on it.
Google it.
All right, opinions?
So, it's... Wait. Well, we didn't even get to the plot setup. All right, so set in possibly an alternate future or timeline, whatever-ish, after some sort of civil war, as punishment, the rebelling states are now forced to every year draft one female and one male in the adolescent through teenage years to fight to the death. So there's one male and one female from each district. There's 12 districts. So 24 kids have to fight to the death. The winner gets, like, riches or something like that.
You know, they never...
They said riches, but they didn't really elaborate. I mean, Woody Harrelson was a previous winner, and he seemed all right, but...
He seemed pretty cool.
Well, what it really looked like to me was... they got riches by being able to join their capital society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're forced to do that. And
Jennifer Lawrence played Katniss Everdeen.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Josh Hutcherson played Peeta Mellark. Liam
Mellark? That was his last name.
Yeah, Mellark.
Mellark.
You didn't catch that?
No, Mellark. I didn't. You all caught right. Mellark?
Mellark. Yeah, I did.
Wow.
And then Liam Hemsworth played Gale Hawthorne.
Yeah, he's like third build for some reason.
And then he has
2 scenes.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be kind of like how when they started Twilight, like.
We haven't even finished the plot description yet.
No. So okay. We had to get
okay,
to
so some yeah, that was valuable. We were stalling until then. Jennifer Lawrence plays Katniss, a teenage, whatever. I'm going to say maybe 16 or something.
She was in between 16 and 18.
Yeah, but I mean, her real age is our age, but...
Oh, of course.
The thing she's playing, yeah. I don't know, 16 to 18. Her sister gets picked for the tributes to fight to the death, so she volunteers to go in her place. And then
they go through... That's pretty
they
much
go
from
through
there.
The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games.
All right. So, again, are any of you familiar with the source material, like having read it?
No.
I know, but we're establishing.
Oh, Katniss in the movie is 16 years old.
Okay. 16-year-old.
Thanks, right. Google.
So
nope, IMBD. Or IMDb.
But you used the get died.
So have you read the books, either of you?
I have not.
No, cursory knowledge at best.
Okay. I have not read it either. Someone else go first on what they thought the movie was about. Or how they liked it. Liked or disliked?
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a very good plot. It was really kind of cool how the, I don't know, maybe like the head guy of the whole Capitol place, he told, when he explained how he was basically controlling these 12 districts through the Hunger Games, I thought that was pretty neat. I did feel a lot like, though, I was watching The Running Man, that starred Arnold Schwarzenegger, when I watched this. There was a lot of similarities in it. It's just, instead of, like, having a ruined city in which these people fought in, there was, like, a jungle setting.
Yeah, some similarities to The Running Man, some similarities to Battle Royale.
Yeah.
There was a third source material that it was... compared to that, I forget. Whatever. Oh, The Lottery, I think, maybe?
Maybe.
The one where they stone the person to death?
Maybe. I'm drawing a blank as well.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Wow.
I think.
Well, either way, like, I enjoyed the storyline. I got a little confused of where they're taking the direction, especially with the romantic interests of the lead role. I mean, it seems like there's two people she could go with, which gives it that Twilight feel, which I was hoping they wouldn't go to, but they did. But who am I?
So,
Jaren?
I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it. Like, I was on
ambivalent
the fence.
Or just on the edge of dislike?
I was on the fence. And actually, the thing that pushed it over the edge for me, that I didn't like it, was all the shaky cam.
Oh, yeah,
it
that
was really
terrible.
Hard for me to watch the whole thing, because, I mean, it's a long movie. It feels long.
Yeah, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes, and with typical movie theater advertisements, the experience is close to 3 hours.
I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. It wasn't, like, a horrible movie, but, like, it was a bit of a grind. And then the shaky cam upset my stomach and just made it really hard to just sit through the whole thing. So I think that's what pushed me over. I don't know. I really wish the movie, once they get to the actual, like, games.
Yeah.
Like, actual, like the actual games happening. It sort of loses direction in places, and a lot of stuff just happens at random, it seems. I really wish it had a more solid direction. Once it got there, it really, like, everything up to that point is all right, if a little, like, kind of cliche written. But, like, once they actually get to it, it gets really hard to follow sometimes, just because there's just kind of so much just seemingly happening at random. So I think there was some, and I don't know if that's a failing of necessarily the movie or if that was a failing of the source material. You know, from what I've heard, you know, like, kind of, from what I've heard, the source material is kind of okay, you know, but I don't really know a lot about it. I just know that, you know, in the end, this movie, unfortunately, hype kind of killed it for me. The ad campaign really kind of put me off to this movie for some reason. And I think it was kind of like, because the ad campaign was specifically directed at fans of the book. Those were the people who were going to kind of be the big payday for them. So they really didn't tell you much about what was going on. And it really kind of, I don't know, it had this weird kind of hype behind it that just kind of made it seem like it was bigger than it actually was. So, you know,
Hype itself turned you off?
Yeah. The hype for the movie itself turned me off. You know, I just, you know, and then the end product is just kind of okay at best. So, yeah, I didn't like it.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than John Carter, although two completely different movies.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I've seen The Running Man. I haven't read the novel. I've seen Battle Royale. I haven't read that one either, but that's a Japanese novel. I don't think they ever translated it for English, as far as I know. There are some similarities to them, particularly Battle Royale, I'd say, but it's enough of its own thing that I definitely don't think it's a ripoff.
Yeah.
At least a conscious ripoff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I also had problems with the cinematography. There's definitely some good production design, this, you know, production value. You can see that it was fairly expensive.
Yes. It does there. it does look pretty good, I will say that.
But it's hard to tell how good it looks sometimes, because I would say 60% of it is handycam, you know, handheld work with, you know, shaking camera angles, which was distracting. At first I thought it was a style choice, you know, like when they were in the original, the District 12 in the beginning, you know, it was all shaky cam, and then when they were on the train and they went to the Capitol, it was almost all steady cam, you know, just set up shots. No tracking movements at all. And then towards the end of that, it went to shaky cam again, and then almost the entire games themselves were shaky cam.
Yeah.
So.
Too much shaky cam for me.
Yeah. The writing, I didn't have a problem with, I guess. I mean, I don't know how it compares to the source material if something got truncated. I mean, the author herself, I guess, helped out enough that they gave her screenwriting credit. Like, they asked her to take a look at it, and she kept correcting stuff, and then eventually they just hired her to rewrite the rewrites. So, I like the acting. The acting was good. I mean, there wasn't really any weak acting, I guess. You know, if there was anything weak, it was the writing for particular characters. I mean, it's long, but you don't really get development of most of the characters. I mean, there's Katniss, there's Peeta. You get a little bit for Rue, but mostly the development is she's a kid.
Yep.
And some of the side characters, commentators, like Woody Harrelson.
A good portion of the kids that actually make up the contestants in the game, they're just basically, a lot of them even got, like, didn't even get, like, names at the end.
Yeah.
Like, they were just literally the kid from District whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, they really don't address a lot of them.
I like the side characters. I like the atmosphere, you know. The commentating was fun. Yeah. You know, I like that they had Toby Jones and Stanley Tucci in scenes together. Although some of those choices looked really weird. Like, the fashion in the Capitol was sort of bizarre for me, and it didn't seem like a realistic bizarre. It seemed like bizarre to be bizarre.
Yeah,
it was sort of like they called back to, you know, merry old England, you know, the medieval styles with their, you know, the pancake makeup.
Mm-hmm. Except everyone's got
and
like
weirdly styled hair.
But
all the main kids had normal hair, normal styles, but me, that's just because they aren't part of the rest of the nation. They aren't allowed to have wacky haircuts.
I think it's just they don't do it because they don't have time for it. They're working class.
I know, what do you think of the acting? Anything particularly disliked or liked?
I like the lead. I mean, everybody else wasn't bad, but everybody felt really stock, and I think that was more the character writing, and less of them their characters themselves.
How about her and Peeta? Did you feel that at all? I mean, there's
no.
They're, part of the plot is they set up sort of a fake romance to try and get the public invested in them.
Yeah.
And then there's sort of a question towards the end. You know, we won't quite get into spoilers yet of whether that's turning or not, and I think that is an ongoing storyline for the trilogy.
I couldn't tell whether or not it was meant to feel fake or not, because it didn't for me. Like, I didn't really feel emotionally invested in their relationship specifically, you know? So, I mean, I don't know.
There were also things that they set up that didn't quite pay off like I thought they would. You know, they talk about sponsors, like, you know, if you get people to like you enough through these interviews and through your training, you'll get primary rankings, and that'll encourage people to sponsor you. And as far as we can tell, there are two sponsored incidents, and those were Woody Harrelson. He sponsored her himself.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's not really quite a payoff to that.
No. They made it seem like it was going to be, like, a really huge part of it. And in the end, that was another one of the things where it felt like they were just kind of picking up and dropping stuff at random at the end. Where, like, it really didn't feel like a, you know, jungle full of kids that are trying to kill each other. It kind of felt like a one-track plot that was following our main character that just kind of added, took out elements as it needed it to get her to the next part. You know, the whole environment didn't really feel like what I thought it was supposed to feel like. You know, and that kind of played into it for me, the whole them kind of seemingly dropping the whole sponsor thing for long periods of time.
I thought Katniss's writing and acting was particularly strong. Woody yes. Harrelson was particularly strong.
Yes.
And, of course, Stanley Tucci, he was strong in his minor appearances.
Kravitz wasn't bad.
Yeah, Kravitz too, but, you know, he was strong enough. I mean, that was a little more stock than some others, but...
Yeah.
And not enough Toby Jones and Stanley Tucci together.
Yes.
I mean, come on, bring those Captain America
yes.
enemies back together. Do that for number two. Just
yes.
have a big scene with the two of them just shooting the shit.
Yep.
Anything else?
Not before we spoil.
All right. So, last 21 Jump Streets, a comedic reimagining of the Fox television series, the same name, which starred Johnny Depp. This movie stars and was co-written by Jonah Hill. It also stars Channing Tatum, Dave Franco,
yep.
Rob Riggle,
yep.
Ice Cube.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's it for the
Pretty
names.
Much. Those are the ones I remember.
Yeah, those are the names. Oh, Ellie Kemper is a random school teacher. You would remember that.
Yeah.
What were the characters' names? I know that I remember the fake names, but
yeah.
does it matter the real names?
Okay, Jonah
right.
Hill played Schmidt.
Well, yeah, we
Channing Tatum played Jinko. Ice
yeah.
Cube played Captain Dixon. And Brie Larson played Molly Tracy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
So, yeah. Jonah Hill was Schmidt / Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Channing Tatum was Janko / Brad. You know, they go by their fake names, you know, almost the entire
movie. Yeah.
Even in private, in private they don't even mention names,
yeah.
so you just sort of think of them as Doug and Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they used to go to the same high school, they were in different social classes.
Yeah.
They happened to meet up like 7 years later, both recruited, you know, joining up with the local police. They end up getting drafted into the Jump Street program, which has young-looking police officers infiltrating school districts to, you know, crack down on crime.
Plays mostly drugs.
Yeah. And they get put in charge of a, you know, locating of busting a drug ring in a local high school. Yeah.
That's pretty much.
So, yeah, that's the plot, all right. Let's see. I start Carter. So, I think it's Jaren's turn to start.
You start? I liked it. Of the three, this one was my favorite tonight. At least the one I enjoyed the most. I really liked it. It was delightfully self-aware of itself in many scenes. In that sense, it sort of reminded me just a touch of how self-aware Hot Fuzz was to what it was kind of spoofing.
Yeah, it was reminded of Hot Fuzz a bit.
I didn't want to push the analogy too far because it's certainly not as good.
Well, it's one of the same production companies, Working Title. Produced or at least helped release Hot Fuzz in the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, writing-wise, it's certainly not quite as tight by any means as Hot Fuzz was, but it certainly did remind me of it in good ways. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. The two leads were quite a lot of fun. Pretty much all the characters were a lot of fun. Even a lot of the even most of the side characters that just kind of pop up for bits are all real fun. Everyone seemed to be utilized pretty well. I mean, I liked it. It did feel a little long in places for me, and I think that might have been kind of a failing of the writing just a touch, where some bits kind of ran on too long. You know, maybe they didn't get quite to the point as fast as I would like, but it was really just minor stuff.
So, recommendation?
Yeah, I'd definitely go see it.
See it in theaters?
Yeah. I'd definitely give these guys money, because I'd like to see more stuff.
Yeah, I do believe they said they're meeting about two already. I mean,
cool.
They haven't commissioned a script, I think, but they're pitching ideas for
That's
two.
One of my favorite sequel drops in a long time.
Yeah, sequel bait.
Yeah.
Alright, I liked it quite a bit. In fact, I'll say, we were talking to Richie. Richie asked if Chronicle ever came out, and we said yeah, and we talked about that a bit. I said, and I thought that was probably the best movie of the year so far that I'd seen. And, Darren, you agreed, right?
Yeah, I would have to agree. Of the stuff I've seen up to this point, Chronicle's definitely been my favorite.
Well, 21 Jump Street has replaced that for me. It's bumped it.
I liked
it so much. Yeah, there were some, you know, there were long stretches where I did not stop laughing. And I laughing so loud that
absolutely
I even completely forgot about self-awareness. So like, oh man, is this annoying anyone else that I'm laughing this loud?
Yes.
This much? You know, and that's, you know, good laughter where you... You know, you almost can't breathe, and you're like, oh,
what was that, I cannot...
You know, I liked it. I thought it was pretty tight. You know, the acting was great. The writing, you know, they did a good job. I mean, I'm not familiar with the source material other than a couple of the actors who were in it. You know, I liked it a lot. I would definitely... like to see number two.
Yes.
If they ever get to that. And when this comes out, I'm definitely going to buy it as well. What was your...
Richness.
Well, Jaren, you had a question, right?
Oh, I was going to say, was the Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg movie, The Good Guys?
I thought it was The Other Guys.
Yeah.
The Other Guys.
Yeah.
It felt like what that movie was trying to do. It was trying to be really self-aware and kind of spoofy. And kind of be kind of wacky and kind of and like that one. That one felt flat in a lot of places. This one like excelled and was just wonderful in a lot of that. So I don't know why that comparison popped into my head, but I just remembered that movie existed, and I remember vaguely liking that movie when we watched it, and everything I can think of liking that movie. This one did right.
I liked the movie. It really didn't drag on for me at all any place, and I did laugh a lot. I definitely loved how self-aware it really was. I agree with my other two compatriots. I'm trying to think of my favorite character, which of course wasn't really the leads. They did a very good job. However, I think my favorite character would probably actually be the captain. I feel like anytime he was on screen, I knew I was going to laugh.
Ice Cube?
Yeah, Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he killed every scene he was in.
Yeah, he dominated.
I mean, he just killed it.
He was powerful. He did dominate. Good.
Killed it.
So, yeah. Recommendation?
I'd definitely see it in theaters. I feel like you will benefit from the bigger screen, and you will benefit definitely from the sound system that the theater will produce for you. You can watch it, you know, on your regular TV, stuff like that, and it'll be a fun experience. But having a group of people go to a theater, being with strangers you don't know, and just laughing your butt off is probably the best way to see this movie.
I'm definitely curious to see how this holds up on second viewing.
I honestly think this is going to be one of those movies that you're gonna want to watch again. You know, that it's going to be kind of one of those ones that you can watch a bunch of times and it's still funny. I can't say that for set fact, because, I mean, it's the first time I watched it, but, you know, I definitely would not be opposed to watching this again once it comes back out on, you know, DVD. Or hell, even if I had a friend that wanted to just, was just kind of curious about it, and let's just go ahead and go to the theater, I'd definitely go see it again.
So, that's it for non-spoilers. We're going to talk about specifics of the movie, so mostly towards the ends of them, I think.
Yeah, I think that's...
So, John Carter, what do you think of the framing device that brought in the real-life author Edgar Allan Burroughs and then had the entire framing device be almost amount to nothing?
Considering I forgot that the framing device was even happening when it got brought back up, yeah, I would say that it was kind of weak.
Yeah, I you know, I wasn't confused, I just thought it was sort of pointless. Instead of just letting them do that, you know, just go through the events and not have that. How about the, like, three lines of narration plus opening scroll?
Yeah, that bothered me. That bothered me with both. Hunger Games and John Carter were kind of, like, similar for some reason in my mind, the way they kind of played out. I don't know. I didn't like that in the Hunger Games either, the whole opening thing. The whole opening, you know, just kind of...
Yeah, laying the background out.
Yeah, I didn't understand the point of it needing to be, like, right there, right at the beginning. Maybe the John Carter one didn't annoy me as much. You know, I don't know. Like I said, going into the Hunger Games, for some reason, I was already put off, so some of the stuff I say about it, you might need to take with a grain of salt.
Yeah. But we're on John Carter.
Yes. I don't know. Again, my biggest thing I can say about it was there's bits and pieces that worked for me, but the whole thing didn't work for me.
What do you think of the climax where they're getting ready to storm this place, or, you know, they break out, they're going to stop this wedding, and then they decide to go back and recruit an army, so then they have that arena scene, and then they storm the fortress again, and then turns out the princess is in another castle.
Yeah. Well, that part
was fun.
So
then they go and do that.
That added to the whole John Carter keeps failing montage that I actually kind of liked about it. That made me laugh every time. But the ending in John Carter really feels sloppy. It almost feels like they could have maybe chopped a bit out of some other parts to maybe flesh out the ending a bit better.
Well, the very, very end felt Avatar to me. You know?
Yeah, very,
but
very much.
There was also the sequel bait, which, again, I'm sure is probably in the novels, but I don't know, of having these omniscient-esque beings, or at least, you know, so advanced that they're almost omniscient, or basically
they
running
everything.
Things on Mars, and they're causing war, and they're arranging this this consolidation of power just because.
Yeah. Those are
They didn't bring out a concrete plan. It just sounded like they just like fucking with people.
Well, from what I understand, and this is based off another review that I watched, that they were kind of shoehorned in. They're a part in one of the books, but they were in order to dispense with some of the mysticism and just, like, magic, okay, he got to Earth type stuff, in order to kind of, you know, like, kind of sort of ground it in some type of something. They shoehorned those guys into this story to make them kind of the magic MacGuffin. And it really, they were actually my biggest issue with the movie. I didn't bring it up in the other one because, I mean, it's kind of a big, you know, spoiler to say, oh, these guys kind of are pulling the strings on everything. But, yeah, they were kind of my biggest issue with the whole movie because their motivation is kind of non-existent. They just kind of do it because they're just fucking with people. And, I mean, like, they pull the strings of the entire thing. You know, like, without them, some of the elements work. Like, I really liked when John actually gets to Mars, and he's kind of held captive by the natives. Like, that whole part I liked. You know, like, I think the whole city overthrowing, you know, like the whole war thing kind of served its purpose. It certainly wasn't bad. It was just kind of the motives of the main villains that were just kind of bugged the crap out of me. And the ending felt really rushed in places. Like, there's a point you reach in the movie where it seems like they're allowing no time now for stuff to kind of build and happen. It's just kind of like, all right, let's rush off to the next set piece.
You know,
like, especially once they get to the part where he needs to put together his army of natives. That really just felt like, oh, yeah, we need to get to that whole part with the big white ape things. All right, well, I guess this is why he does it. You know, I mean, it's kind of justified in the story. It's not completely just blatantly just kind of there for no reason, but it feels really rushed. And then when they go to crash the wedding, that whole final fight thing feels really rushed, too.
Yeah.
You know, just, and then, of course, the ending, which is just kind of like, oh, crap, we've only got, like, so much time to finish this. Let's just hack this together. You know, it was, I don't know, it almost feels like there might have been too much to cram into this movie.
Yeah.
You know, especially since they had to kind of set everything up. So, I don't know.
Richie, anything else on John Carter?
Nope, no spoilers for me.
All right, The Hunger Games. So,
just relabel this section Jaren rants about what he did or didn't like about the movie for the next 5 minutes.
The Hunger Games
potentially ruin your experience.
Well, the shaky cam was particularly shot the ending for me, and part of it was their main antagonist, or you know, the big heavy they set up within the games
Maximus.
is a guy from District 1.
What's his name?
It was like Max Power or something.
All I could think of
some
was
ridiculous, like
Maximus.
Yeah.
The ultimate teenager.
Who's a tall blonde kid, and Woody Harrelson's giving him looks. I'm thinking, oh, is he a ringer? Like,
basically,
you know, Battle Royale or The Running Man?
He essentially
was. There's trained from childhood, basically.
He's not what you would call a ringer, as in, like, specific, but they're basically the shoo-in.
Yeah, the shoo-in.
The shoo-in.
But, because of the shaky cam in the final battle, I got the characters confused because it's PETA, who's a tall blonde kid, versus District 1 guy, who's a tall blonde kid. The camera's shaking, and there was only one stable shot, which was from overhead, where you can't tell which blonde kid is which.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the thing, they're also being hunted by genetically engineered dogs or something that might be robots, I don't know.
Yeah, that was... never mind, go ahead and finish what you're saying.
I don't know. I thought that crippled that particular part. You know, I know it adds intensity, but you don't have to be that intense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just parcel out those moments.
A little bit of scene construction.
Yeah, establish the locations,
uh-huh.
Everything.
It was just sloppy bits. The movie could have been a lot more interesting. It was just really sloppy bits.
Did you like the, I was expecting, I was like, that's anticlimactic, because they just push Blondie off the thing and he gets, eaten by the wolves or whatever, and then they shoot him, put him out of his misery, and they're like, oh, okay, we won, I guess. I'm like, that's anticlimactic.
I knew they were going to do that.
Then Toby Jones says over, our rule that we came up with a couple hours ago. Because we got worried that people would get pissed off that she would win because, she gives hope or something.
Yeah.
So then Woody Harrelson convinced us to let two win if it's just specifically these two, basically, because then it's about love and not hope. Well, we decided to change our minds now.
We're
saying right now, fight to the death. And then they're like,
kill ourselves.
You should kill me. Then she's like, no, let's go Romeo and Juliet on this shit.
Wait. We changed her mind again.
Yeah, that's you almost win. Literally what they said. That's almost literally what they said. Wait, stop. Don't do that.
You win now. Sorry. God.
And then we get, like, an ending montage set to an instrumental, which was a nice instrumental.
Yeah.
Of the head of the Hunger Games TV show. Basically, it's like a montage, like you'd see at the end of, a particularly game-changing TV episode or something.
Yeah.
And, oh no, this TV guy we don't care about is getting forced to eat the poison berries because President Sutherland is displeased with them basically showing up the Republic or whatever at the end there and spitting in their face. Oh no, he has to eat the poison berries. Oh no, they get crowned champion and there's maybe kind of a tense moment with President Sutherland and Katniss, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then they're king or whatever, and then they're on the talk show, and Woody Harrelson gives them the party line to pretend they're lovers so they don't get shot or something. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Because Ian Woody Harrelson says, I don't know, this is uncharted territory, just do this and you'll probably be okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Then they get back, and then there's the hint of there may be a love triangle here.
Uh-huh. I really think possibly. I
know. What's next? And that's literally the line of, what's next? And then the last shot, for some reason, is Donald Sutherland in the Hunger Games TV station looking at the two winners being winners, and then he just sort of walks out.
I guess this is where the movie ends.
Dramatic-ish music.
Well, I guess it's the end. Yeah, it, the ending was, again, just like Carter, felt really rushed, really sloppy, and it was all for the sake of setting up the next movie. Like, setting up where we're going to be at, and it seemed like they were just rushing to get there. You know, like, oh, we need to wrap up the fucking Hunger Games stuff, and then we need to kind of establish where everyone's going and stuff before we close this thing out. It was kind of like tying up all their loose ends in like 5 minutes.
And
a lot of the stuff, again, like you were talking about, like the kind of thing between, you know, the Katniss and
structurally, I didn't quite have a problem. I mean, I did like that. I was surprised that, as you know, half of it was the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be, you know, the last third of it, but instead it's an hour set up and, you know, the pageantry and getting them TV interviews.
Pageantry
and
stuff's
FaceTime
really cool,
with, you know, Stanley Tucci, you know, setting up the world and the rules. And then
like
the games stuff itself. And I do kind of, you know, it was long.
Mm-hmm.
There were some places they misused that length, but I do sort of agree with their decision to make us basically feel her going through that thing, you know, of how long it is and her basically surviving it. But they could have written that better.
That was really my biggest issue, is because like all the build up before the games, I actually rather like all that stuff, all the pageantry and stuff like that, you know, all the world building and stuff. That stuff was actually rather fun. It was only when they got to the actual games themselves, and I know they were trying to like give this really chaotic image, you know, because we're supposed to kind of experience it from her point of view, but a lot of the stuff felt, the way things happened felt really contrived and random.
They also, you know, the shaky camera's repetitive and distracting and sometimes, you know, ruined moments in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought they overused the dropping out sound. They did that 3 or 4 times, you know, like when they were being lifted up into the, you know, the game area, they dropped out the sound.
Mm-hmm.
When stuff started exploding, they dropped out the sound. I think there was at least one more time where they dropped out the sound. Yeah, there were 3 or 4 times.
Oh, it was when right after Rue died.
You're right.
And she was having her whole, like, emotional breakdown thing. They did the whole silent crying thing.
Richie was bored.
I don't know. And like I said, part of it is I came into it sort of not liking it already. But, like, you know, it wasn't bad. Like, I didn't... I'm not saying it's a horrible movie. It's just the end rubbed me the wrong way. The way things were put together. I just kind of didn't like it a lot.
Was there anything you would have changed specifically? Or how would you have changed it? I mean, just disregarding the material, the source material itself, which I'm sure probably ends in a similar way. But how would you have done that? I'm curious.
I don't know. Trimming up some of what actually happened in the game might have helped some. So it wasn't quite so long. Maybe had a little bit more time for falling action. You know, for an actual conclusion.
Yeah, after they win. Because it's basically a 5-minute montage set to music.
Yeah.
And then
so maybe trim out some of what actually happened.
We don't really see the fallout, although I'm sure number 2 is basically the fallout.
Yeah.
Well, and we got a picture of that, you know, a little bit of the fallout.
Mm-hmm.
in-game where we have one shot of a reaction to the outside world, Richie, where Rue dies and we see her district rioting after Katniss does her hand gesture, prayer thing, whatever.
Yeah.
They start rioting, and then Donald Sutherland is like, hey, maybe you should kill her or something.
Yeah, they were just
and then Woody Harrelson is like, no, you should do this. And then the TV's guy tells President Sutherland, yeah, we should do this. And Sutherland's like, eh, your head. Whatever.
Just don't make me have to kill you later.
Yeah.
Well, maybe have to kill you. I do like how, like,
in all some of that
non-confrontationally evil his character was.
What? Sutherland?
Yeah. Like when, like, he's talking about them, like, basically they're, like, you know, like, cattle.
Yeah.
You know, like, I loved that. The way he was talking about them. Yeah. What made me really happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was mainly
because he has such, like, a kind of charismatic, like, voice and presence about him sometimes, that hearing him in that same kind of charismatic voice basically talk about the districts like they're absolute nothing.
I'm sort of curious now how that world works. I mean, he's president, but is he president like Castro president, you know, where it's inherited, or do they have actual elections and it's just the districts that are, you know, all fucked up?
We didn't get enough about that to really make a assessment.
I wonder if we'll get a picture of that at all in 2 and 3.
I don't know. It might be one of those book things. Like, because, I mean, they're really playing to the crowd, to the book fans.
Yeah, so, not as much as... I don't know. It's like Twilight plays to the books fans, and the marketing of Dragon Tattoo played to the books fans, although the movie itself didn't really...
I don't know.
Was there anything else Hunger Games?
No. I think that pretty much covered why I was on the fence.
I thought it was weird. I mean, I'm sure, again, it's in the book, but we didn't get any reactions from basically the system cheating. Yeah. Oh, she's on the out edge of the game area.
I don't think that was supposed to be the system, quote-unquote, cheating.
Let's knock her over them.
They were just showing that they can, at will, cause natural stuff to happen within the dome to basically make them do something.
Well, they cheat. Well, it's manipulation there, which I guess can be good TV, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird because I feel like that's her game. It should be about them killing each other, not necessarily the environment itself.
Well, you know, that's part of it.
Although they do make a point of that, but it sort of seems against the nature of the very thing.
Well, it's not necessarily about the fairness of the game. It's about good TV.
Then they bring out the dogs or whatever that they don't explain. They're just like, hey, look at the dogs. And yeah, all right, finale. Put that on the screen.
All right. That was another one of the parts. And that, again, near the end, when it got really rushed, it just felt random. Like, fuck, throw in dogs. Dogs are cool, right? Yeah, let's have some creatures.
Yeah.
Bugged me.
Anything on Hunger Games, Richie?
Richie speechless.
He liked it that much.
He liked it.
Okay, Jump Street.
Quick stuff for Jump Street.
Jump Street. Yeah, I know it's a comedy. I mean, it's an action comedy, so.
What was your favorite bits?
Well, I definitely liked them going through the stages.
That was amazing.
I think that was where I lost it, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was amazing.
There
what
were
was
one
the other,
or two
oh,
other
the
moments
party.
Where I really.
The party I lost it at. Oh.
I mean, there's a moment there that we had seen in all the trailers.
Yeah, it was still funny.
Yeah.
I still liked it. Like, it was still a good bit. I know there was another part where I was just laughing hysterically.
Yeah, there's a part towards the end that you were going at that I didn't quite like as much as you did. The limo chase.
Oh, limo chase. I did enjoy just for the sheer, like, bombacity of a limo chase.
What do you think of our cameo without actually saying the cameo, even though... It is a spoiler.
I loved it. It felt appropriate.
I was expecting a different appearance, as I told you.
Yeah.
But...
I did like how it, again, played into the whole self-aware nature.
I mean, there's literally a part where they say, end of Act 2, and I'm like, wait, is that the end of Act 2?
Yeah.
Like, yep.
And it's the movie is delightful.
And they play with expectations in a very fun way.
Yeah. Oh my God, the explosions.
Yeah.
I really thought it was gonna explode this time.
Yeah.
We're back.
Yeah, you slept. Whoa. For 10-15 minutes.
Wow.
We've got you snoring on audio.
Travel.
You'll have to download that and play. To Bethany, snoring. And you'll hear how we trash talked you the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Your fiance will be very impressed.
Probably.
Anything else?
No. Nah, man.
Did you have any spoiler things you wanted to say, Richie?
About which movie?
Either
of them.
Any of them?
No spoilers, just
what was
overall.
Your favorite
I mean,
what was your
I think
thing
specific
that
you wanted to say.
I think my favorite part that happened would have to be in 21 Jump Street when all the typical things that would explode didn't explode.
I think you just nailed it on the head. That was perfect. It was beautiful. Oh my God, that guy got his legs ran over. That was
oh my goodness.
Especially in a movie you're not expecting it. Like, it's just, it happens. And it's like, oh God. Oh my God, that just happened.
It was R.
Yar.
So that happened.
Rated R for pirates.
R. That was the thing. And what else did we see Franco's brother in?
He was in Fright Night.
There it is, yeah.
There was a third thing I think we saw him in.
Yeah.
But.
It's the second time that I went, is that Franco's brother? And you're just looking at him like, it is. And then like we get to the end, we see his name. It was.
Yep.
It's like
Dave Franco.
Time that happened.
He's got the same cool with his brother does.
He does, and he's got the same like kind of face thing going on. Where like I just looked at him and was like, huh?
Yeah,
he's
that's a Franco. He's Frankenstein.
That's true.
Oh, that was that. That's kind of good.
Uh-huh.
Wow. All right.
That
so.
For this installment.
Nothing else.
I'm good.
All right. That was what we've really thought. You know, leave comments on our Facebook page, the Wall with C group. Subscribe to us on iTunes under the Wall with C group. We have a website, Blogspot, the blog, the Wall with C group. The web address for that is wallwithcgroup.blogspot.com. That's WAWASEE.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next time.